Thank you. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Easter Sunday at Central Church. I'm standing in the empty sanctuary, but the Spirit of God is filling this place, and I trust filling your homes where you are. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. In fact, I'm trusting you to hit that other half. Let me say it again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. So good to be with you today. Hey, I want to remind you, we are still being the church these days in some wonderful behind-the-scenes ways. Many of you, I hear, are looking out for the vulnerable, looking out for your neighbor, making calls and dropping notes and sometimes dropping groceries off at people's doorstep. Plus, I know that sack lunches are being made in our kitchen downstairs and delivered for the food insecure in our community. Plus, meeting to support each other through Zoom and FaceTime and Chime. Who would have thought those words would be household words for a church ministry these days? But here we are in this new reality. We also want you to know that our Bishop David Bard has posted a most encouraging Easter message that you can find on our website or Facebook page. And now going forward beyond Easter week, Dale and I and others have a new message series up our sleeve. We're excited to debut in a couple of weeks, and we're calling it Living Forward. And it's all about how to live an active hope and stitching together a new garment when life feels like it's been torn apart. I hope you'll join us for all of that series. And this coming Sunday, a week from today, we're happy to welcome to the pulpit a guest preacher, Jody Flessner, who will be a part of the UMW Focus Sunday a week from today. And we're also excited about debuting some other short-term groups. Would want you to be a part of that. Tune in if you'd like to. You can check those out on Central's website and find out a lot more about the groups. I'll be helping to lead one or two of those myself. Finally, I'd like you to pass the peace of Christ to each other. Maybe whoever you're sitting in your living room or before your laptop computer, find someone and just wish them the peace of Christ. If you're viewing today by Facebook page, you'll notice the comments section that you can tap into. Why don't you weigh in and just let us know who you are, maybe where you are, who you're watching with, and maybe you can wish a happy Easter to everyone who's viewing along with you. Now, I am delighted to introduce Carissa Rokas, who's a third grader in our congregation, who will now call us to worship.
Good morning. This is the good news I'm proud to tell you about. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. So that means wherever you are, walk in the light of his love that no death or virus can kill. Plus, live in the light of his healing mercy towards everybody. Come from wherever you are. Let's worship together the one who death could not keep down. Let's have a party in the triumph of Jesus Christ. Love wins. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Friends, now is the gathered community. Let's open ourselves together to the grace of God through the act of a corporate prayer. Let's all take a deep breath. And wherever you are, enter God's presence with me, would you? Easter God, we bring you our praise and our thanks, for you take the pain of our Good Fridays, the watching and suffering and the waiting for death, and you transform our helplessness into the fragile beginnings of hope. You take the bleakness of our Easter Saturdays, the weariness of defeat and desolation, and transform our despair into the will and courage to go on. You take the grieving of Easter Sunday morning, the fearful approach to the tomb, and transform our bewilderment into the breathless excitement of a new life. And so, with Mary and the disciples, with all who have wept and been comforted, with all who have mourned and found hope, we sing your Easter praises. So God, of loss and love, we give you thanks for these signs of health professionals and lab technicians working long hours, of neighbors calling neighbors and realizing we are all neighbors now, plus the global community stumbling into solidarity together against a virus. What else might we discover we can do together? Oh, may all these signs speak to us of the everyday made holy, of oppression turned to freedom and justice, of new life dancing in our veins. May we not cling to what is past, but answer joyfully to the calling of our names to live your risen life in the world you have made new. Choosing to live today, we claim words of Jesus when he told us we could call on you by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now let's enter into more time of song to praise God.
Bible reading from Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. This is the story of the resurrection of Jesus. When the Sabbath day was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and saw him all about places, so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Happy Easter to you. Christ is risen, risen indeed. Hey, it's good to be with you this morning, even though I know none of us anticipated celebrating Easter this way. But I'm glad that we can gather around monitors and radio today and celebrate the good news of Easter. I do hope you're continuing to do your best to stay healthy and body, mind, and spirit, taking care of those who are with you and knowing God's goodness during these times, seeing God's goodness in all the ways it's coming to us. One day soon we'll be able to be together in person. You know, in spite of the coronavirus, we are celebrating the good news of Easter because it's times like these that God brought Christ into our lives and opened up the tomb for us. A moment ago, you heard Carissa Rokos read the gospel lesson from Mark's Easter telling, Mark's telling of the Easter story. And so I want to begin my sermon with the ending of that gospel reading, where Mark concludes it saying, "Of the disciples who were at the tomb, they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Now, what an odd way to end the Easter story. Wouldn't you agree? Hard to imagine a more cautious response to that proclamation. He's been raised. He's not here. What's going on? Why does Mark end his account of Easter this way? What happened to the rest of the story? Well, odd as it might seem, this is exactly where the earliest manuscripts of Mark's gospel do end. A little background information is helpful here, reminding us that it wasn't until the late first century that these oral stories, these oral traditions of the gospels were finally written down. As demands grew, the Gospels, other New Testament letters, they were copied over many times. Today, we are aware of some 5,000 whole partial copies of the New Testament. Mark's was the earliest of the Gospels that were written. And when those oldest of copies are examined, you see that his Gospel does, in fact, end where we left it off today, with the disciples' lackluster response to the Easter message that Jesus is risen. No running to tell the others at home what had just happened. No visits by the risen Christ in an upper room or at a lakeside breakfast fire. No great commission to preach the gospel. No human celebration of God's victory. Just as we heard, terror, amazement, silence, the end. Now, if you open your Bible this morning, you'll see the other endings, the additional endings that have been added. During the second century, the church fathers decided that they didn't like how Mark concluded his gospel, and so they added material from the other gospels. But for some reason, Mark chooses to end his account with less. You could say that Mark was the Joe Friday of the gospel writers. He keeps it short. He just wants the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. But why? Well, I believe it's because this gospel writer is inviting you and I as listeners to help write the ending to the story. He's leaving room for our response to Christ's resurrection. Now, I know you like the other stories better, and so do I, like how the Gospel of John tells of Mary running to the other disciples and saying, "I've seen the Lord." We like closure. We like good closure. especially when we think we know how the ending should come. Think about movies for a minute. How many times have you seen a movie left you feeling a little bit unsettled because it didn't end the way you thought it should end? Maybe it went in a direction you didn't like, or it didn't pull the pieces together the way you thought it should. And afterward you say, well, that was goofy. I didn't like that. We don't like it when the story doesn't wrap up in the way we thought it should. We like good closure. We like comfortable closure. You know, life is like that too. Each of us has that ideal ending to our own stories, and we work hard to make that real. Our hopes for ourselves and our families, where we see ourselves years down the road, how we hope that the integrity we try to live with and the connections that we are blessed with will one day come and bless us. But sometimes it doesn't work out like we planned. Sometimes we don't get to walk across that commencement stage or go to prom because a pandemic messes that up. Sometimes a loved one dies and we can't be with them because that same pandemic messed that up. We get furloughed from our job. Our anxiety shoots through the roof. The place that we sleep every night has to close, and we have nowhere to go but to tents in the woods, not how we'd write the story. You know, naming this current pandemic, we realize that much of what we are experiencing is grief. Grief over what we've lost. Think about it for a minute. For as much as these days have left us anxious over uncertainty, they've also left us grieving for what's been taken away, not how we write the story. You know, when our daughter Chloe died just before Easter last year, that wasn't the ending that Deb and I wanted for her or for our family, for our friends. Her suicide due to mental illness was not how we wrote the script, not the ending that any of us wanted, nor are the many other hope-stealing endings of our lives, your lives. However, today's gospel story reminds us, for as difficult as endings may be and for as fearful as they might leave us, they happen in front of an empty tomb. And in the light of the promise of the one who was raised and who goes before us, who we will see just as he said. Let's take a moment and listen for that, the rest of Mark's story, the good ending in the rest of the story. Last Friday, Good Friday, I preached along with other pastors on the seven last words of Christ from the cross. My part of the message was, "It is finished," which means it is completed. And we were reminded on Good Friday how God, who dies for us, ended the power of sin and death over us, freeing us to be all we were created to be in Christ. It's an ending written with the power of powers, sacrificial love. Well, today we're remembering how 3 days later, that love stood justified and glorified outside an empty tomb, where God finishes the story of Jesus by showing the world what is next for all who would open themselves to that resurrecting power, that new life does come, that dashed hopes are restored, that grief becomes subject to joy, because the end is not what we expected. It's God's ending. And listen now, part of God's ending is always to invite us into a new beginning. I believe that's what Mark's gospel is offering us, why he finishes his story the way he does. I think Mark knew that for the story of Easter to truly connect with us and us with it, that to receive the amazing grace in this story, we have to get personally involved. God wants us to step into the story and write the conclusion with our lives. So let's look back for a moment at the responses of the women in the story, because we are them. They are us. You know, as the story begins, they're on their way to the tomb. They've collected enough nerve to finish the job they hadn't been able to finish on the eve of Jesus' death. They've come with love and oil and spices to anoint his body for burial. And they come, no doubt, looking for some closure to what had been a horrific last few days. And so imagine the shock they're feeling as they're greeted by a stone already rolled away, an empty tomb, an angel bearing good news. He is risen, he is not here. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, where you will see him just as he told you. But they, in fear, run away, saying nothing to anyone. Again, at the end of that gospel. Well, think about it for a minute. Who could blame them? It's an odd way to end the story, but maybe the most realistic way. They could deal with a dead Jesus. For as bad as it hurt, that was a whole lot easier than considering that he was alive and on his way back to his old stomping grounds. What do you make of that? This was way beyond their comprehension. Well, Easter is way beyond our comprehension. And Mark isn't the only gospel writer who shares the struggle of the disciples. Luke tells us of how the women returned to Peter and the others, and as they heard their tale, they said, "It's idle," and they didn't believe them. In John's gospel, Peter and John run to the tomb, but they don't understand, and they go back home. Each of the gospels tells the story a little bit differently, and yet each writer makes the same point. Endings invite us into new beginnings, but we don't always know what to make of them. And so we start with the promise of Easter. Christ is risen is the game changer of the universe. His power is not the property of any one church or denomination or religion for that matter. He is the universal Christ for all people, for all time. He's not bound by any of our restrictions. He is on the loose, going ahead of us where we will see him. You see, God has completed God's part in raising Christ and unleashing Christ's Spirit on the world. Now, ours is to take up after him, even as he's wooing and loving and challenging us along the way. Well, what can that response look like? I want to offer you a couple thoughts on that today. How do we finish the story? Well, first of all, it means that we expect to see him. And with that expectation, we're opening our lives to his transforming power. Tom Stegall, in his book Shadows, Darkness, and Dawn, tells the story of how the ancient rabbis would argue about why God, King of the universe, gave Moses such a puny miracle to summon him into service. Why a burning shrub? Well, the rabbis eventually discerned that the bush was a test to see how observant Moses was. Would Moses notice God's handiwork in the world? Would he be alert enough to see things out of the ordinary? Or would Moses, like most shepherds, focus on the problems of the wilderness, overlook the mystery? Would he notice a bush that was burning but not consumed? Stegall writes, he does, and the rest is history. I think God offers us a similar test on this Easter. The tomb is our burning bush, the ordinary reminder of how the familiarness of sadness and death can overcome us. The question is, do we look at the tomb and see it open? And are we willing to follow the Christ who has stepped out to lead us into the fullness of life? I wonder, where have you seen the risen Christ lately? Wherever kindness, mercy, long-suffering, love is happening, his Spirit is there. Where haven't you seen him? In other words, where's it felt like he's been absent? When we're tempted to feel like the women at the tomb, it's time to remember again, in our endings, God is present, inviting us to a new beginning. Look for it, count on it, step toward it. In healthcare workers and others on the front lines of the coronavirus response, the risen Christ is there. In families mourning the death and separation from loved ones, the risen Christ is there. In children painting Easter decoration on windows in their homes, maybe on walls too, the risen Christ is there. and cards and messages and phone calls offered by those who want others to know they're not forgotten, risen Christ is there. And takeout food continually offered to the food insecure, the risen Christ is there. And neighbor sewing masks for neighbor, Christ is there. In our own renewed sensitivity and concern for others, the risen Christ is there. Where do you see love burning that is not consumed? Which leads us to one other way we can help write the ending to the Easter story. You know, friends, we have this opportunity to learn what this pandemic might teach us from the perspective of the empty tomb, from the perspective of the Easter story. Soon our world is going to get back to normal. The economy is going to bounce back. Children will gather again at playgrounds. Ballparks are going to be filled with fans. Tiger fans who have given up on their Tigers will return in droves. Frontline heroes will have their part in parades. There'll be enough of everything for everyone, but some will still be denied their share in it. Jails are going to fill up with nonviolent offenders once again, and concern for Christ's least of these, or it's going to get pushed aside by the world's greatest of these. Going back to normal really isn't enough. Our world has the opportunity, as in any catastrophe, to be better for having gone through it, to reassess our purposes and our vision and our priorities, to once again realize just how fragile and precious human life is, and to make some new beginnings, risking to begin again in ways that offer hope to more, and not just those who can pull themselves up and carry on. As people of the empty tomb, our role is to offer in all of this the message that has grounded us, the example that has grounded us in times of need and as well empowered us to risk, even celebrate in times of freedom. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the risen one who goes before us, who lives in those who help finish the story. So this Easter, I thank God for open tombs, open endings, open hearts willing to live this message. Christ is risen and goes before us, just as he said. Amen. Friends, in response to the gospel today, I hope you felt God warm your heart, and I hope you can use the next few moments to just ask that question, how will I help write my ending to the gospel story? How will I do my part in that? One of the ways we respond is even we give time and energy. We offer our gifts to support the work of Christ, the Easter and open tomb work of Christ in the world. So as you're able, I invite you to give generously of your financial gifts to support Central's ministry in these times and as we move forward in strength. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you.
God use the gifts we have given in today's offering and all our acts of real compassion to open doors and to break people out of tombs and to announce God's reign, especially in this season. Amen. Now I want to send you out, brothers and sisters. I want to send you out into this new Easter season with these words. So Christ has risen, risen again in the midst of it all, that in some amazing way, we too might be a people of hope who walk in the light, seeing at last that our salvation is wrapped up with that of our neighbors. Go forth in the tomb-busting love of Christ. Amen.